Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again about the discipline of emotions. Not very long ago, I was visiting my grandchildren in California, and one afternoon, a young woman came to visit my daughter, Valerie, and they sat for several hours in the living room, talking very quietly. And after she left, Valerie told us that she had actually accepted the Lord. This young woman had been seeking the Lord and had come asking for help from Valerie, and Valerie was privileged to show her the way to faith. Well, when 9-year-old Elizabeth heard this story, she looked up at Valerie and she said, "Oh, Mama, you're going to get a crown." And then she paused a minute and then she said, "But I'll never get one." Well, I wrote her a letter telling her about that verse in James 1:12 that speaks of the crown of life. This is what it says: "Blessed is the one who endures trial, for he will receive the crown of life promised to those who love God." That's one translation of the verse. Another translation says, "The man who patiently endures the temptations and trials that come to him is the truly happy man, for once his testing is complete, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him." And so I tried to point out to my little granddaughter Elizabeth that she is not excluded from the possibility of winning a crown of life even now at the age of 9. Maybe the day will come when the Lord gives her the privilege of leading someone to faith, but I don't think there's a verse in Scripture that specifically says that such a person will receive a crown of life. This verse says that it's the one who patiently endures the temptations and trials that come to him. Now, what kind of temptations and trials come to a 9-year-old girl? Well, one of the temptations is that of impatience with her little brother and sisters. Elizabeth has 3 younger sisters and 1 younger brother. She gets very irritated with them. Sometimes they get into her desk and mess up her books or use her writing paper. They put their toys in her room. They mess around with her clothes. It's a temptation for any 9-year-old girl to be impatient and disgusted and maybe angry with that kind of trial. The one who patiently endures. Is it possible for a 9-year-old to begin to learn that lesson? I'm sure it is. I can remember very well being 10 years old myself and thinking, these people think I'm just a child. These people don't realize that I'm in touch with God. I was aware of spiritual responsibility. I was aware that God was going to hold me responsible for obedience to Him just as much as He was my elders. 9 years old is not too young to begin to seek the crown of life. It says that the patient endurance of temptation and trials brings happiness. That man is the truly happy man. For once his testing is complete, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. If you love him, then you patiently endure the temptations and trials. What are yours today? Stop and think right now. What temptation or trial has beset you since you got up this morning? Is it something the children are doing that they're not supposed to do, or something they're not doing that they're supposed to do? Is it the boss Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it a neighbor? Is it money troubles? Some temptation or trial that came to you by phone or via the mail? Here is your opportunity patiently to endure. And the way to patiently endure is to look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus who endured a cross. And remember, the reason he endured the cross was for the joy that was set before him. Once your testing is complete, you will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Loving God means obeying God. Jesus said, "The one who keeps my commandments is the one who truly loves me." So I was able to encourage my granddaughter to know that it was entirely possible that she would get a crown of life. She didn't need to feel that she was excluded because she had never yet, quote, led a soul to Christ, unquote. Jesus said, "Don't let yourselves be distressed." Now, how can we possibly obey that command? Things distress us, don't they? I told the story the other day of how when Jonathan and Rosalind Goforth, missionaries to China, had their house burned down, and Rosalind was very upset by the loss of some very precious things, her husband said, "But dear, why are you so distressed? They're only things." If all she had looked at was the things themselves, she had reason to be distressed, didn't she? But what he was reminding her was that there were some things which were eternal that were much more important than these precious earthly things that she couldn't take with her. Paul said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, a great safeguard to your souls." He wrote those words when he was in chains. Do you think you could be sitting in a miserable, rat-infested, probably cold, damp prison cell, chained between two guards, and write to somebody else, "Delight yourself in the Lord"? Hezekiah, when he was only 25, became king. And the word is, he put his trust in the Lord. If some reporter had come along back then and thrust a microphone into Hezekiah's face and said, "Tell us, Your Majesty, how do you feel about becoming king at the age of 25? I don't know. I cannot imagine what Hezekiah would have said. But if he had the same set of references and frame of mind that people have nowadays, I suppose he would have come up with some answers. People seem to be able to tell with just astonishing candidness how they feel about things nowadays. I'm never quite sure whether they're telling the truth or not. I don't think we can analyze our feelings that accurately always. But what might he have said? I don't suppose he would have claimed any great sense of competence or delight at becoming king. I would think the responsibilities would have been rather overwhelming. Heavy lies the head that bears a crown. But nobody asked him how he felt, and the Bible doesn't tell us how he felt. The Bible tells us what he did. He put his trust in the Lord. Back in 1781, Mozart wrote this: "The emotions, strong or not, should never be expressed ad nauseam, and music must never offend the ears, but must please them." Can you imagine that Mozart, in contrast to a good many modern musicians, didn't use music to speak about himself or his situation or his moods? He says that the emotions should not be expressed ad nauseam, and that music must never offend the ears, but must please them. What would Mozart's opinion of some of the stuff that's called music nowadays be, judging by that standard? I have to confess, a lot of it is nothing but noise to me, and it does offend my ears. The scripture tells us that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Self-control. You and I have a responsibility to control ourselves. And yet we cannot do that entirely by ourselves. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it's a comfort to me to know that I can work together in cooperation with the Spirit of God in controlling my emotions. Self-discipline is a sign of spiritual and emotional maturity. As I have said about one's thoughts and one's work, we can make them an offering to God. Hannah Whitehall Smith, in her book Religious Fanaticism, writes, "A quiet, steadfast holding of the human will to the will of God and a peaceful resting in His love and care is of infinitely greater value in the religious life than the most intense emotions or the most wonderful experiences that have ever been known by the greatest mystic of them all." There are people who insist on certain signs being given to indicate spirituality. Those people split communities and draw attention to themselves rather than Christ. It's Christ who is to be exalted, isn't it? It's Christ who is the center of our worship. It's Christ who is the Lord of our lives. And He comes to us and says, "Do you love me?" as He said to Peter. And when Peter said yes, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Note that Jesus did not say to Peter, "How do you feel about me?" He said, "Do you love me?" Love is not a feeling. Love is proved in obedience. Feed my sheep. So instead of wallowing in a swamp of emotions or self-pity, feed one of His sheep today.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.